Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Good morning, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, last week we heard all about the Apostle Islands with the 50th Anniversary Symposium, which was celebrating 50 years since its designation as a national lakeshore. A lot of that was about aquatic life. How are the fish doing there?
Well, this week, the Natural Resources Board approved a new permanent rule for lake herring or cisco and lake trout harvests in Wisconsin waters of Lake Superior. And that represents a change from quotas we've seen with lake herring or cisco in the Apostle Islands of Lake Superior. Now the state has a joint quota of 1.8 million pounds, which will be split between the state and tribal fisheries. And so that means that around 850,000 pounds of lake herring will be reserved for commercial license holders. There's 10 license holders in the area, and that means they'll get 85,000 pounds apiece, which is a 35% reduction from the previous quota. Around 47,000 pounds has been set aside for sport anglers in the area. And that's because the lake herring or cisco population has been on the decline, and they actually haven't reached anywhere near the quota in the last 7 years. And so it's kind of similar with Lake Superior lake trout. They're seeing, you know, recovery of that lake trout population. It's slightly higher than what it had been around 2010, but it's still kind of struggling. So they've restricted the total amount of lake trout for the state to be 31,000. And in the Apostle Islands area of Lake Superior, that means that the sport fishery will get about a little over 12,000, and the commercial fishers will get around 6,300 lake trout under this new rule that was approved.
All right. Well, nationally, President Biden's infrastructure proposals were all the rage this week, and it's more than just about roads and bridges. It actually talks about broadband in underserved areas like ours. What's the latest on Superior's broadband plans?
Well, Superior held its first listening session for Connect Superior, which is this proposal that the city's been working on for a city-owned broadband network. You know, the city council or city council members and Superior's Mayor Jim Payne have argued that this would lower the cost of internet access by about 30% for residents and businesses. But, you know, some councilors are concerned about the price tag. You know, it's about a $31 million proposal. And this is something that Superior Mayor Jim Payne has said he would like to see federal COVID-19 relief go towards, because the city is set to receive around $17.7 million in federal relief. And as he said, you know, the American Rescue Plan Act allows that money to be used for things like sewer, water, and broadband infrastructure. And so the city heard from residents for the first time about that this week.
All right. Well, speaking of COVID, that, of course, is always a subject. How are we doing with those Johnson & Johnson vaccines that had some hiccups, or actually, I should say more literally, blood clots?
Yeah. Well, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services instructed vaccine providers this week to stop giving out doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And that came, you know, after we all know that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, FDA, recommended a pause in using that vaccine because of the potential for blood clots. It's very rare. But, you know, in Wisconsin, we've seen around at least 160,000 doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine have been administered as of early this week. And so this means that health officials like Douglas County and Bayfield County have decided not to administer these shots anymore. In Douglas County, you know, they said they primarily had distributed the Pfizer vaccine, and that they'll continue to do that, and that they're reminding people too that the vaccine is also available through its new community clinic that's located at Westman Arena in Superior, and that just opened earlier this week.
All right. Well, Brooks, I always turn to you by saying on the Minnesota side, and Minnesota was all over the national news this week, not the way it wanted to be.
No, already with national and international eyes on the state with the ongoing trial of Derek Chauvin in the killing of George Floyd last year, we have the death of a 20-year-old black man who was stopped by police in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center on Sunday. Dante Wright was shot and killed during a traffic stop, and protests have erupted since then with more calls for justice for Dante Wright and for accountability for police violence against people of color. In Duluth on Wednesday, about 150 people filled the downtown street as they marched from the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial, the site of a lynching in 1920 of three black men, and they marched toward City Hall with demands for justice, police reform, accountability, and the overarching Black Lives Matter, no justice, no peace, slogans were chanted throughout the afternoon.
We actually have some sound from the rally where organizer Lamar Quita Leach spoke about the officer who said she shot Dante Wright because she mistakenly pulled her gun instead of her taser.
It was not a mistake. That was no mistake, but I don't think that they deserve to have guns during traffic stops because at that point, they're not really, what do they deserve to protect us at that point with a traffic stop for an innocent person who just has a taillight out? Why do you need your gun for it?
The Duluth branch NAACP on Wednesday also reissued its demands. The Duluth Police Department bring its arrest and use of force rates in line with local demographics. White residents comprise about 90% of the city's population, but last year, half of all use of force incidents involved people of color, according to police data compiled by Lean Duluth.
Right, and we actually had a segment with Lean Duluth and Superior Chief Nick Alexander a couple weeks ago on that very subject. Moving to Park Point, a little good news on cleaning up over there.
Yeah, so if folks remember, last fall it was discovered that Army Corps of Engineers had inadvertently dumped a bunch of aluminum can shards, decades old, scraps of metal, and other debris on the Park Point Beach, this public beach, of course, that spans about 6 miles of Lake Superior waterfront. They were dredging up, you know, the harbor to keep it navigable for ships who need to pass. But they had dumped this material to replenish the beach, which has been eroded away over high water years and severe storms. So the Army Corps has taken responsibility for doing this, and they are going to clean it up at their own cost. They're also going to continue nourishing, as they call it, the beach with this dredge material. And the city has signed off on a plan to make sure that they don't end up dumping more can shards and debris. So this spring and summer, as folks visit the Park Point Beach, there may be closures or areas that are off limits for a time. Early spring and summer, the can shard cleanup should be done sometime in June, while there will be work on the beach nourishing that goes on until about the end of September.
Okay. And more good news from the Spirit Mountain area, Spirit Mountain in particular.
Yes, we learned this week that Spirit Mountain had a stellar season, actually, despite the pandemic, or perhaps because of it. People needed to get out and do something, right? The mountain had a 17% increase over last year's revenue and turned to tidy profits. While we don't know precisely what that will be, some of the bills continue to get paid. Interim Executive Director Ann Glumak told the Duluth City Council this week that they had cut expenses and their hiring plans, and they've got this money that the city gave them, $475,000 in tourism tax proceeds this year, and they also have a little profit, and they're going to invest it in the facilities. They're going to put in a new community skating rink. They're going to put in some more investments into their rental fleets, and they're just going to overall try to upgrade the mountain to meet what a task force and industry consultant firm said should be done to really make this a community resource. It's a far cry from the $23 million the mountain needs to invest per this consulting group, but it is a start, and the Duluth City Council seemed on board with the mountain's plans.
Okay. Well, we've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thank you, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport, and be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Next week on Simply Superior, we'll bring you part two of our look at the finances of the Catalyst Content Festival and Story Institute. We leave you now with an Anishinaabe song from The Vigil for Dante Wright. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.